chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he was resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no relations with her until after she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up.
Are you all getting excited? How many do you know
how to read signs?
Yeah.
Do you? Do you know what do you think this would say?
Yeah.
Welcome. All right. Very good. What about this one?
Yeah.
What?
Danger.
Would that be a very welcome sign?
No.
Doesn't. You're not supposed to go there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if we got another one here. How about, this one here.
Private property, no
trespassing. Is that a welcoming one too?
No.
You're not supposed to go there either, are you? Well, how about, this is a really mysterious one. What do you think that says? You don't know? What are they doing?
Punching
people, aren't they? They're having a fight? And they're, notice, what?
Maybe danger?
Well, they're fighting one another, and there's a line that goes through it. What do you think that says?
No fighting.
Don't fight. Yeah, we need signs like that, don't we? Well, here is a sign also. What does that say?
Jesus is born.
Jesus is born. Jesus is coming into our world. In fact, every time you see Christmas lights, we remember Jesus is born.
Mm-hmm.
He's the light of the world. Every time we see Christmas decorations, we know the same thing, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has come. And what do you think, what kind of a sign should we put up for Jesus? Okay, we could put a cross up. Do you think this would be a good sign to put up for Jesus?
Yeah.
Welcome. Right? Well, let's say thank you, Jesus, for coming, shall we? Thank you, Jesus, for coming into our world. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, and we welcome you. Come into our hearts this day. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. I'm glad you guys can read signs. How many of you have had a dream or a premonition that actually came true? Many of us have. You know, in the scriptures, we see it again and again. Many people will pay attention to what that dream said, or that premonition, and they'll change the direction they go or the road they take, or they'll change something. But I buried a 16-year-old who died very young after being
killed in a car crash at a after a party. The thing that made that stand out was that his friends came to me afterwards and said, "Did you know that he had a dream about that? Several nights in a row, he dreamt the same thing, that he was killed in a crash. But he just laughed about it and went to the party anyway." Sometimes we listen to what we are being told in a dream, and sometimes we try to ignore it. But there's a key to listening to our dreams, and that is that everybody seems to dream in different symbols. And so just because something means one thing to one person doesn't mean it means it to everybody. You have to remember it to take note of what your symbols are. In a book by Morton Kelsey called God, Dreams, and Revelation, he goes through the entire Bible, pointing out all of the people who had dreams and visions and revelations and how they responded. In the Bible, we see those who responded by changing their ways or by going in the direction that they were supposed to, and some who refused to listen. Ahaz was one of those who didn't want to hear. Isaiah came to him and said, "Ask the Lord." Now, the situation is this. Now, I mentioned some of this in our Bible study on Thursday. When Solomon died, his sons were fighting like cats and dogs, and they split the nation. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Now, after many years, along comes the Assyrians, who are playing dominoes with all of the little nations, trying to knock them out and make them all part of the Assyrian Empire. And they are coming right down on Israel and their neighbor Syria. Now, the kings of Syria and Israel put their heads together, and they were worried. There was no way both of them together could even conquer or defeat the Assyrians. So they come down to Ahaz, who is in Judah, and they say, "You know, we really need your help. If the only way we're going to stop the Assyrians is if you join us." Well, Ahaz is really torn, because he does not want to go to war. He does not want to fight the Assyrians. He knows how powerful they are. But he doesn't know what to do. And Isaiah comes to tell him, "Why don't you ask the Lord?" And Ahaz's response, "Oh, I don't want to bother the Lord. He's got a lot of other things on his mind." Anybody here ever have that attitude where, "Well, this is just a piddly thing. I don't want to ask God for this, you know." But Isaiah says, "Look, Ahaz, God has a plan, and he will take care of it. And even though you don't want a sign, I'm going to give you a sign from the Lord. And the sign is that a virgin will give birth to a child, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us." So, Ahaz, you don't have to worry about it, because God is going to be with you if you turn to him. And he will help you defeat the enemy. And if you know the rest of the story, it happens exactly that way. The Assyrians come down and they defeat Israel and Syria. But when they try to attack Judah, they are driven back. And that's another story. It's well worth reading some of these neat little stories in the Bible. God with us is one of those themes that we all need to grasp onto. Because God is with us, and God wants to be part of our lives. Throughout the scriptures, dreams and revelations are part and parcel of the way in which God speaks to us. You know, there's an interesting story in the book of Judges, the 7th chapter. If you get home and want to read that chapter, actually it's just a short story, but it's one that has powerful meaning. Gideon is faced with problems with going to war. And he needs an answer from the Lord. But he doesn't know how to get an answer from the Lord. So he prays. And he says, Lord, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put a fleece of wool down on the ground. And if your answer is yes, then let the fleece be covered with dew, but the ground around it be dry. The next morning, Gideon got up, and sure enough, the ground around it was dry, but the fleece was so wet when he picked it up, he wrung out a bowl full of water. Now, Gideon isn't going to stop there. He's just a little bit worried that, but that could have been a natural occurrence. So he says, okay, Lord, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to try one more. This time, I'm going to put another fleece down, and tonight, I want you to make it wet, the dew to fall all around the fleece, but keep the fleece dry. And the next morning, that's exactly what happened. The fleece was dry, the water was all around. It's that's kind of what's called throwing out the fleece. Sue and I have used that many times. In fact, I remember when we were considering a call in Springfield, Missouri, to go to Nebraska. We'd been there 10 years, the church had doubled in size, and we were happy, and we could have retired there easily. Things were going just great. And then this call came from Nebraska, and we thought, well, maybe we should consider it. So we prayed about it, went to bed and prayed about it. And next morning we were still feeling like, well, maybe we should go. But we threw out a fleece, and we said, and I should tell you that at that time in Springfield, Missouri, houses were not selling. And our big concern was we could be stuck with a house without, you know, no way to pay for it. And so we said, well, Lord, one of the things that will show us that we're supposed to go for sure is if our house sells. Within 2 weeks, our house was sold. There were a number of other things on our list, and every one of them came. And so we always considered the call to Nebraska, you know, a blessing from God, a direction. Now, I'm going to drive ahead about 10 years. When we were receiving a call to come here, we did the very same thing. So I've always considered our being here as not just a decision that we made. It was a decision that God made. We are here because God has called us to be. There is something we need to do. And there's something you need to do. And there's probably something I need to drive all of us doing. There is a story of, you know, back in the ancient days, Julie couldn't have just played the organ. She would have either had to pump it with her feet till she was sore in the legs, or there was a little pump handle behind many of those organs, and somebody would be there pumping the bellows so that the organ would play. Well, in one case, a famous organist was giving a concert, and behind a screen, there was a young boy just pumping away. It was a hot day, and he was sweating, and he was pumping away. And when they took an intermission, the organist went behind the screen, and the boy was wiping the sweat off, and he said, boy, don't we make good music? And the organist looked at him and said, what do you mean, we? I'm the organist. Well, when it came, you can probably guess what's going to happen. when it came time for after the intermission, the organist gets up on the bench and he takes a deep breath and he gets ready to play and he puts his hands on the keys and there's nothing. Well, he thinks maybe the kid was asleep. So he starts again. Nothing. And a little voice from behind the screen said, "Now who is we?" But that's what I call the we factor. It's not me or you. It's us together with God making those kinds of decisions. In the gospel today, in fact, in the whole Christmas story, Mary and Joseph and the wise men all listen to God's dream or what God tells them in a dream and follows and obeys. Each one of them realized it wasn't their decision. It was God's decision. And they were able to tap into that decision. Imagine what would happen if we, as God's people, relied on what God wants us to do. One of the miracles of the Christmas story, really, is not just the virgin birth, which is miracle enough, but the real miracle was that Joseph allowed God to change his mind. Back in those days, in the Middle East, couples were married before they were old enough to know what was going on. Mary may have been in diapers when she was engaged to Joseph. And now Joseph, after all these years of waiting, realizes she's pregnant. And he knows it's not his. So there were ways of dealing with that. One was to expose her to the public and have her stoned to death. But Joseph is a righteous man. He doesn't want to do that. And so he decides, this is before he goes to bed, he decides he's going to divorce her quietly so that the guy who really is the father will marry, you know, kind of one that gets him off the hook. But in the night, God speaks to him in a dream and says, "Don't be afraid to marry her. The child is God's child." Now, just imagine what could happen if God could change our minds. If God could give us directions that we would actually listen to. Instead of saying, "Oh God, I'm not sure that's what I want," and decide to do what God wants. The world at the time of Noah was a mess, evil in every way. But Noah listened to God, built an ark, and saved the people. Abraham, in his old age, gave up, almost ready to give up, but listened to God and became the father of many nations. Moses would have preferred to stay out in the wilderness herding sheep. I mean, sheep are a whole lot easier than dealing with people. All right? Yeah. But he takes God's word and leads the people of Israel out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. Story after story. Joshua faces a huge fortress at Jericho. Walls that are 4 to 6 feet thick. And God just tells him, march around it. Now, I don't know about you or me, but if I were faced with something like that and thinking that's the door to the promised land, I'd be willing to settle back there in the desert. But Joshua follows God's command, and the walls came a-tumbling down. Ahaz finally listened to the word of God that Isaiah brought to him, and they were able to defeat the mighty Assyrian army. What could God do in your life if you would allow God to speak to you through dreams and revelations and premonitions and all of those things? Because when we do, and we take it to the Lord in prayer, He will give us an answer. May not be the answer we want, but it may be the answer that God needs for us to follow. Each time we come to the Lord in prayer, we open ourselves up to His will. And His will guides us. My prayer is that as the Joint Call Committee, as they begin to meet, will take that as a guiding light to lead us to the person that God, I believe, already has in mind to lead this congregation. And I pray that as a congregation, we take the directions that God leads us, because, like I said, I believe God has mighty plans, way beyond anything we can dream. May that God who led the children through wildernesses far greater than ours bless us with His presence, with His dreams, His revelations of what may be if we follow Him. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.